Well, to begin with, I was struck today especially by the words from Jeremiah and the other two scriptures as well, but it's something about the Jeremiah that just really seems to fit where we are today. Especially at the end of Jeremiah, when he refers to God's life-giving water, fresh and pure and clear, God's blessings are rich and clear. And instead, Jeremiah said that his people turned away from God and were happy drinking water from the cistern. Well, we don't have cisterns anymore, but we do have the equivalent. We have some sort of apparatus or old bucket or plastic whatever in the backyard to collect the rainwater to put on the plants. And Jeremiah says that his people symbolically are drinking this on purpose instead of this. So in the days and the weeks to come, or certainly the days to come, I encourage you to go back and really dwell in this week's reading of Jeremiah. Friend, the word of God never changes and is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. And we understand all of that as well as we understand the seasons. They come and go, and so do we. However, not all changes are inevitable. We have the symbolic end of summer vacation and the beginning of fall and the new school year next year. And tomorrow, Labor Day, seems to be the man-made symbol marker for the change from summer to fall, from the end of things and the beginning of things. You might say the Jeremiah reading today is a really stern reminder of some things nowadays that need change. Even today, God's children are prone to ignoring God's fresh, life-giving water and instead choose to drink that stuff, whoops, that stuff that falls from the roof or from other artificial containers that hold water. A deliberate change that we choose from this. So let's carry that biblical thought a bit further to 2019. You probably have heard of communities that spray for mosquitoes that have emerged from stagnant water and that are creating health hazards when they bite. Now that's truth. We know that. However, the biblical truth that Jeremiah talks about is the same thing. The stuff that we choose to call water to drink, symbolically, is also full of things that bite. We know that, or we wouldn't be feeling bad about what we read and what we see. Think about it. When we humans turn from God's living water and follow other gods, we find that their water is stagnant and worthless, and often filled with bugs and debris. The bugs and debris sometimes, one bug might be called, we might call it, me first. or the other bug that says, oh, I can get more money for this. Or another bug that's common, let them figure it out. And full of other things that bite. All of these cause pain and death when we stop and think about it. We know that's true, especially when we hear some of those same words from our children. Think about it. I want to be first. Oh, I spent my allowance already. I know you gave it to me yesterday, but can I have more? And so on. Think about it. Think about those things. Within that truth, we discover that when we do go after worthless things, that we too become worthless. We get hooked, so to speak. We become greedy, uncaring, self-centered to the point of incivility to one another. Jeremiah saw the handwriting on the wall and spoke about it. And no one listened. No one in his day emptied the stagnant water within themselves in order to get rid of those biting mosquitoes. And they all suffered as a result. The result was that the Babylonian exile happened. We all know about that. It not only happened, but we know that it took at least three generations to begin to overcome the effects of the Babylonian exile. And to this day, no one needs an explanation of the Babylonian exile. And with these fresh thoughts in our minds, Paul reminds each of us of the expectations that Christ has for us in our personal lives and in our ministry to others. Paul reminds us to recall those who have brought us this far by faith, to remember their ministry of helping others in sharing of what they had. Down through the years, even into current times, faith and their gifts were steadfast. Steadfast, not only out there that we read about in history books, but right here in the village of Ilion, and specifically in this church. If these walls could talk, what faith building did our foreparents use to avoid the unhealthy water of today's society that made leaky wells? Think about names and faces and people? What form of ministry was extended to each of you in the years past that has you right here in this place right now? Who and what brought you to this place this morning? What prepared you to face the challenge that you faced on the floor below? Think about it. Who What faces, what history, what names? Go home and think about it. Human behavior over thousands of years has not changed. And through those years, cautionary words from the prophets remain true. True then, true now in our time. Your foreparents heard Jeremiah's words and took care to turn from the scum of stagnant water to real water. They shared their love of God, their learned knowledge, and they passed it along to you in one way or another. Through words, actions. And proof of all that will be evident. You and your children will celebrate the visual proof of that when you gather downstairs on the 27th. Who and what have driven you to face that awful obstacle? Then you will be reminded of the amount of sharing of God's love that is so very evident right down there. The physical labor, the mental labor, both on site and off site. And then also, don't forget that recent gift from your children. Think of that gift of dancing, that lovely gift of dancing that shook everybody present in that night and lifted your tired spirits, and probably what kept you going for days after that. Think about it. Think about that gift. We love God when we show one another, the love, and by leading children to the life-giving waters, as your foreparents did. Life-giving waters, and by your living as an example and cautioning them when they stray. We often hear ourselves and others say to them, to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that's not the way we behave around here. Do you think that's fair? How would you feel if? And did you remember to share? Often we hear those things. And we hear others say some things, those things and other things, to our children. We and others say that to our children, and yet condone and even encourage the same incivility that we see in society being done by others. And in those times, sometimes we might hear, "Well, that's the way it is." Or you mean we might hear, "Well, what can I do? I'm only one person." Friends, there is no such thing as an insignificant voice. There is no such thing as an insignificant voice unless that person decides to remain silent. And we know what happens, what the result could be when a parent or grandparent or great-grandparent remains silent and unconcerned. Jeremiah calls us to change. Calls us to change from rainwater to God's living, pure, generous water. And then more recently, Paul says, "Keep on being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should." Amen.